The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, one Sunday, let me put that away first. A man approached his pastor after church, and he said, "Your sermon reminded me of the peace of Christ and the mercy of God." Pastor beamed and said, "Really?" And the man said, "Yes. It passed all understanding and endured forever." I don't know. Hopefully this one won't. So today is kind of known as Doubting Thomas Sunday. Poor guy. Although he's well known, he's not the most popular of Jesus' disciples. He probably ranks a little bit above Judas, but not the most well known. What do you think he looked like? Who do you think Thomas looked like? We see pictures of, you know, John the Baptist. We see pictures of Peter and James and John with Jesus. But what do you think Thomas looked like? Well, you can imagine my surprise when I found a picture of Thomas. I did. Yep, that's Thomas. See that up there? Because the truth is, that'll hold that. Go that way. That way we can get us all. Because the truth is that Thomas speaks to each and every one of us. Thomas speaks to all of humanity. Because we all have questions. We all have doubts. We each have uncertainty. We want some tangible proof that our faith is real. Something that we can hang on to. We don't want to believe just because everybody tells us we should. We want faith, yeah, to be real, to touch and be touched by Christ. How does Jesus enter into those locked rooms of your heart? How does he step in and touch your heart and your soul with that gift of faith? Is it through music? Through hearing delicious melodies and beautiful harmonies that lift us from that place of despair and carry us to hope and new life? Is it through the meal that we share, tasting and smelling that hearty bread, the stout wine of Holy Communion, and swallowing it and actually feeling Christ become part of you? Is it through the water, a wonderfully wet reminder that you are washed anew and that we're given a fresh start to live our lives again as God's beloved children? Is it through the word that speaks to the depth of your heart and soul, that you're convinced it was written and spoken just for you? Is it through prayer, that intimate connection with God and that holding and being held with love and concern? Is it through people, through the touching of our lives, that blessing and joy of knowing that we're not alone? We have the gift of each other. Is it through the beauty of creation, through a glorious sunrise or a majestic mountain or the birds soaring joyously in the sky above you? How does Christ come to you? Because the good news is that he comes. He always comes to us, especially in the midst of our questions and our doubts, in the midst of our uncertainty and our skepticism, reaching out to us always to give us something to hold on to. I love in this gospel lesson how Jesus came back, especially for Thomas. The other disciples had already seen him, but Jesus came back for Thomas. And that reminds me that Jesus comes back again and again and again and again for me and for you, blessing us with grace and peace. So as I talked about with the kids, after Jesus breathed on his disciples, giving them the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, then they are retained." I have to confess, I got a little hung up on the retention part this week. I had to hash that out for a while with two colleagues. And this is kind of where I came to on that. That's probably not the best English word, retain. But we don't retain people's sins as in hold on to them, like in judgment. We retain them as in holding them back, kind of like holding up a mirror and saying with great love, "Friend, look what's happening here. Look what's happening in your life. Look what you're doing." And we know that as we hold up this mirror too, we see ourselves in it. So it isn't about judgment or condemnation. Jesus promises that the truth will set you free. So we retain sins not to condemn, but to really, truly set one another free, to offer peace and mercy. We're given that gift and that power of the Holy Spirit to live our lives with forgiveness. I think this is why we take time each week to share the peace with one another. We are touching one another in our humanity. Whether that's a handshake or an embrace, we are remembering that we are not alone. That we are giving each other something to hold on to in faith. Someone to hold on to. That we are part of a community of faith. That we are the body of Christ and His peace is with us. Jesus shares this peace with His disciples in that locked room because He wants more for them. He wanted more for His disciples than for them to remain locked up in that room. He wanted more for Thomas, who questioned and doubted. And He shares this peace with us because He wants more for us too. Jesus always wants more than those things that hold us captive. He always has. In essence, He held up that mirror as He healed the sick, as He forgave people's sins, as He challenged the social status that oppressed some people, as He challenged those in the church who had forgotten what it's like to live with grace and mercy. Jesus wants more because God wants more for us. I think for me, that's what Easter is all about. Easter is all about God's more. The power of the resurrection is the power of God's more. There's more than life as we know it. There's more than death. There's more. There's hope. Hope never denies the presence of fear or doubt or sadness or death or discouragement. Hope rises from it, is resurrected, if you will, from it. Trusting and hanging on to God's more. Proclaiming triumphantly, Christ has died, Christ is risen. Christ will come again. You know, we as people of faith are that Easter proclamation. We are God's more. We are not only the face of Thomas, the one who proclaims, "My Lord and my God, I believe." But we are also the face of Christ. So take a good look again. Because each and every one of us, we are the face of Christ in the world today. Even in the midst of fear and doubt, in the midst of sadness and death, we dare to sing. We dare to believe. We dare to trust in God's more. We dare to hope in God's more, no matter what. We share the peace that truly passes all understanding and live out God's mercy that truly does endure forever. We are the people of God. We are God's more. Amen.